who is going to speak to us on a question. What is truth? What is truth? Brother Joe.
Thank you, Brother Rickin. Brother Bob. Lucia and I, we're very happy to be here with this convention. It's always a pleasure to be with the Lord's people. And I have lots of love for you. The brother in Atlanta, they all sent their greed and love. And many other love came from two different oceans, the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. The brethren from Colombia, South America, they send you their greeting. From Argentina, they send their greeting. From Peru, they send their greeting. And also from my own country, Italy, the best country in the world. I'm only kidding you. What is truth? This is a question. How many of you remember who asked this question to Jesus? Pilate, the Roman governor. And it is a great honor for us, brethren, as the Lord's people, to view the many experiences in the life of our beloved Master during his ministry. And from each experience and trials, we observe in him many qualities of faith, courage, humility, and also compassion. And because we, by the grace of God, have the truth, we should do our best to imitate and apply the wonderful quality of our Lord in our own Christian life. Yes, we love the truth. For us, it's a precious possession. It was revealed to us not by any organization, by our Heavenly Father. It was He who touches our life, as He did with Lydia in Macedonia during the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Quite often we ask the question, one brother asks another brother, another sister asks another sister, how long have you been in the truth? It's a good question. Did we find the truth? It is the truth to find us by the grace of our Heavenly Father, because it was He who touches your heart. And we are thankful for that. And with the Lord's help this afternoon, we will consider a short conversation between Jesus and Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. When Jesus was on trial for his life and brought to the judgment hall of Pilate, in the process of questioning him, the Roman governor came to the conclusion that Jesus was innocent and falsely accused by the Jew. He was very much impressed by Jesus' character. And he did all he could to save his life. But we know this was not in God's plan, because the Lamb of God had to die for the salvation of the world. Pilate then asked Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus, "Thou sayest that I am. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, but I should bear witness into the truth." Then Pilate asked Jesus, "What is the truth?" Now then, why Jesus didn't answer the question that Roman ruler asked him? Shall see the reason for him. Keep in mind the tremendous turmoil and confusion at the time. It created a situation which was very difficult to maintain order in the city. And the strange event occurred at that time, because as the Bible indicates, on the 10th day of the first month of the year, the people acclaimed Jesus a king. "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And then 4 days later, they cry again, "Crucify, crucify him." For 3.5 years, our Lord continually proclaimed the message of hope and truth to the people in Judea. But the message didn't set up well with the leaders. He was hated by them. Though the end of his mission came the trial, his earthly life. First came the severe, crucial test in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then death on Calvary Cross. His message of the truth cost his life. Our Lord's mission was to lay down the foundation of hope and salvation, not only for us that we believe in him, but also for the world, even for those who crucified him. Jesus did not answer the question that Pilate asked him, but it is fundamental, important, that we know the answer to the question. And we are thankful that by the grace of God, the truth was revealed unto us. As Jesus in his prayer to his Father in his upper room said, "Thy word is truth." John 17:17. And the only way to determine what is true is through the start of the Bible, the Word of God. This does not mean that all who read the Bible understand the truth, because as we know, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us in order to understand the truth. Without that power of the Holy Spirit, it would be very difficult to understand the truth. The disciple loved Jesus very dearly. They love everything that come out of Jesus' mouth. But they didn't understand his mission until the day of Pentecost, when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon their mind. We have a wonderful example as to know how the powerful influence of the Holy Spirit to help the Lord's people to understand the truth. You remember during his ministry, many people admire him, admire his wonderful character and virtue, and then believe that many of them believe they thought he was a prophet sent by God. Others thought he was a John the Baptist. Others thought he was the Elijah. Jesus didn't resent the different opinions of him, but he was concerned of they understood. They, the disciples, understood who he really was. And then he asked a question, and he said unto them, "Who say he that I am?" And it was a Peter who answered the question by saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:16-17. Then Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It is interesting, the dialogue, to notice the dialogue between Jesus and Peter, because in this dialogue between the two of them, we have a very rich lesson related to the truth. Because whatever the idea, the best idea of a human mind can conceive in an effort to identify and understand Jesus' mission, we can be sure that those ideas are not, they will not come flesh and blood. Flesh and blood does not reveal the truth to anyone. It would have been very difficult for Pilate to understand the meaning of the truth, even if Jesus had explained unto him. But blessed are them to whom the Heavenly Father has revealed the identity of Jesus and have a clear understanding of the mission and the stand of the truth. What a privilege it is for us, brethren, to understand the truth, but also to understand the position that Jesus occupied in the plan of God and his mission on behalf and not only of us, but also of the whole world. And to know that he was the seed of the promise through whom all the family of the earth eventually they will be blessed. Let me tell you, my dear brother, in a humble way, in my pilgrim trip in many parts of the world, I had the opportunity to speak to people, religious people, even to a bishop in Italy. And none, and I mean none of them, understood and have a clear conception of the philosophy of the redemption. None of them. I think we should be for the wonderful revelation of the truth. For us is indeed a precious possession, and let us keep it that way, because we have been blessed by the truth with our vision to see God in many ways. We see how he shaped our lives. The truth has changed our life, our entire visions of God. Therefore, we'll be able to see his wonderful attribute and his love and compassion, not only towards us, but also for the poor humanity in despair. When we speak of the truth, we mean more than theoretical knowledge of a certain feature of the divine plan. True knowledge begins with a mental and clear understanding of the various doctrines of the divine plan. This is fundamental, and there is our knowledge of God. With the knowledge of the truth in his mind and heart, the consecrated Christian is able to interpret his experience in the light of divine love and care. In each hardship, whether it's pleasant to the flesh or not, it is only for our good. We're thankful. Sometimes we find ourselves on the mountaintop, rejoicing the Lord, the convention, fellowship of the brethren. Or sometimes we find ourselves in the valley of testing, where we are on trial, and the Lord tests our faith. Sometimes we must face a difficulty in life. The Lord knows all our problems, and you can rest assured the Lord will never, never test you above what you can bear. None of us as a Christian had to face the tremendous responsibility of the cross, the little cross. Nevertheless, our Heavenly Father, we deal with us as He did with Jesus by giving us the strength and the courage during our trial. But we must remain firm to the foundation of the truth and leave the judgment in the hand of the Lord. Our trials are sometimes necessary, but they're not trial sometimes of punishment. But they are part of our training for the future missions. So we with Jesus will be able to be sympathetic towards the world of mankind. Sometimes we come to the conclusion that in the millennium will be all roses, a blessing. This is not the case. It takes a thousand of years to bring mankind again in harmony with God. And many, many, many superstitions and many wickedness of the flesh have to be changed. The power of the Holy Spirit has created in us the desire and responsibility to share the truth with others. And as it did with disciples the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, and with him 11 of them, they began to preach the message of the gospel. Brethren, the truth is not to keep for ourselves. Let all learn the truth. Or they can learn the truth in the millennium. Or we take the truth with us to our grave. It has been said, the Holy Spirit pointed always in the direction of activity in the service of the truth, and not to a self or satisfied attitude pleasing the flesh. If the Lord wanted to keep you where you were, He could have done that. But He took you out of the Babylon system and brought you into the knowledge of the truth. So it is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. Oh, I can't talk. I don't have the knowledge to talk. This is a tendency of the flesh. Find an excuse. And this could be a case of a test. We all have 2 feet, brethren. We all have 2 hands. Let me tell you, with your permission, a little experience, what the Lord can do with your 2 hands, with 2 feet. I remember one year we were in Mexico, in the Culiacan province, where we have the Dawn has the radio stations. We had about 16 names without to do what they call a follow-up work. In the morning, we went to the restaurant, we had a breakfast, and we sit next to another table there. And I have a habit to bring with me always the Spanish dong. If I'm in South America, I carry the Spanish dong. If I'm in Italy, I carry the Italian dong. If I'm in Brazil, I carry the Portuguese dong. Whatever country I go, I go well prepared. I took the Spanish dong, I lay him on a table, and then we wait. Two couple walk in, sit down, they pick up the Spanish dawn. They went through a couple pages, Spanish dawn, put them back again. Then another man came over, he did the same thing. Pick up the Spanish dawn, read a few lines. And then the third person come in. It was funny thing, funny experience. He looked at the Spanish dawn, he read four or five pages. All of a sudden, he looked around to see if anybody see him. He took the Spanish dawn and put him inside the pocket. And he disappeared. Our mission was complete. The Lord was going to do the rest. Month and a half later, we get a letter at the dawn. It was the gentleman that wrote the letter. When I saw that letter, I tell you, I thought there was something funny, because part of the letter he said, "Dear El Alba," L'Alba is Spanish dawn. "I want you to know," he said, "that I just found God." Has anybody ever see a letter like that? "I just found God," he said. Then he went to the letter, he said. I repeat the story where he picked up the dawn, and he wanted to know if we can send all the literature we have, and he wanted to know if there is a place in Mexico where he can go and meet with the people that are Bible student. Brethren, what do we do then? Nothing. We just lay a little booklet on the top of the table, and the rest we leave to the Lord. That's something that you can do. It's a part of responsibility, brethren. You have the truth. Thank God for the truth. We have entered a covenant with the Lord based on sacrifice. Devotion, dedications are important in our life. A consecration of the Lord, we agree with the Lord to lay down our lives in the service of the Lord and proclaim the truth. And what was the truth of God's plan which characterized the message of God's holy prophet? The truth of restitution. For we read in Acts 3:21 that the time of restitution were spoken by God's holy prophet since the world began. And it was to provide an opportunity for restitution that Jesus gave himself as a redemption for all. Redemption and restitution are the two fundamental themes of God's great love for us and for the world. Present to this message the truth and let the light shine involved some sacrifice of the flesh. As was beautifully expressed by breaking the earthen vessel of Gideon little band. Those vessels Gideon band, the vessel of a Gideon band concealed the light, and not until the vessel were broken could the light be seen. Yes, the earthen vessel could be our flesh, holding us back from a little sacrifice that we can make for the proclamation of the truth. As a new creation, we must be alert to detect any inclination of the flesh find excuse nor be zealous in the service of the Lord and the truth and the brethren. To fulfill something by prophecy in our time indicate to us that we are approaching the end of present evil world. We can also say that we walk by sight rather than by faith. As a consecrated Christian, in addition to make our call and election sure, it is our responsibility to proclaim the message of the truth with any tool that we have in our disposal. And let us use whatever talent we have for the glory and honor of our Heavenly Father and to help our brethren make their calling and election sure. Yes? Pilate asked the question, what is the truth? Thank God that the truth that Pilate wanted to know was revealed unto us and given to us by Heavenly Father. It's a sacred trust, and it is a precious possession that we have in our Christian life. Now then, what constitutes the truth most important? The foundation, brethren, is the ramps on Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of what I believe. The life is given for the just as well as for the unjust. And we're so thankful, brethren, that hope, that blood of Jesus was given for the just as well as for the unjust. And we're so thankful for such a foundation of the truth. Consecration to the Lord. Oh, it's easy to take a bath, isn't it? When we went to the water to symbolize our consecration, we made a decision, brethren, to dedicate our life not only to make our condolation sure, but also to promulgate the truth the best we can. We have a wonderful message, brethren. There is, I've been around, believe me, brethren, there is no system in the world, no matter what country or place you go, that have the foundation of the truth. I remember, without permission, I will tell you a little story. My niece, which was a superintendent of the school in Italy, she invited me to have a dinner with her. But what she didn't tell me was that at the same time she invited me, she invited the bishop of the church. By 1 o'clock I arrived, and there he is sitting on the chair, and my niece, very intellectual individual, very proactive, so to speak, he says to the bishop, Excellency, Eccellenza, they call it in Italian, or that's the way they address those people. He said, Eccellenza, I said, I want you to meet my very, very dear uncle. See? And by the way, Eccellenza, he says, he's a Bible student. We begin the conversation. And I'll tell you, brethren, I never saw an individual in such a high position, so ignorant. The only thing that man knew was the four gospels. Out of the four gospels, he knew nothing. And I said, sir, I didn't call a father or excellenza. I said, sir, you have a garment that you wear. Don't you know where this garment came from? Oh, he said, from the Holy Father, from the Vatican. He knew nothing about the garment that he wore. It was all copied from the tabernacle. incredible, incredible. At the end of the conversation, then I blew up my top a little bit. Excuse me if I say that. Typical Italian temperamental. I said, sir, I said, it wasn't the Pope from Rome that gave you life, whether Jesus Christ that died for you on the cross, not the Pope from Rome. Because you insist in the way you have to take order from the Vatican. It just is incredible, brother. It just is incredible. And how thankful we should be that we have the truth. Understand the truth and the plan of God. It is a hope, my dear brethren, which money cannot buy. Pilate wanted to know the truth. What is the truth, he says to him. But Jesus didn't give no answer. Why he didn't give no answer? Because he knew that if he gave an answer, he never understood what the truth was. And that truth that he didn't understood, you and I understood very clear. It thank God that he touch our heart and be able to understand the foundation of the truth. Now, sometimes we come to the conclusion, well, I just discover new truth. Have you heard that expression? You just discover new truth. Yes? I believe that the truth is progressive. What I mean by that is that we learn to understand better, but the truth will never change. That which is true today will be a truth tomorrow. We may be able to understand tomorrow better than today because we have it developed, but the truth will never change. Besides, there is a due time for certain truth to be understood, but our knowledge of the truth must be always in harmony with the old truth. We can't change anything. It'll be true tomorrow. And we have a foundation. Foundation given us by our Lord Himself. And the foundation that we have in the Scripture, in the Bible. And also to the volumes which the Lord has used, the pastor, to help us to understand the truth, and we are thankful for that. Now then, assuming that Pilate, that Jesus answered Pilate's question, what would you say Pilate would do? Would he pick up his cross and follow Jesus? It would be an impossibility for him to do that. Because he didn't touch his heart. And thank God that the truth is touching your heart. That's the only way that we understand the truth. And the glory of the hope that we have in the blessed kingdom. But this glorious hope that we have in the promise of God. Remember, on these last days which we live, they're very dangerous days. Turmoil, violence, unrest everywhere, revolutions, anarchy. I don't believe anywhere you ever see a little bit of anarchy. I saw a little bit of anarchy in South America. And believe me, it's horrible. Horrible thing when you see sometime on television the cowboy and the, what do they call, the stampede. And that's where they are when you get this sort of anarchy in those countries. The devil, brethren, is very active. And he always takes a refuge in the element of superstition and ignorance. And Paul describes Satan as an intelligent evil man, being with the faculty to transform himself as an angel of light. And he makes a full use of the media to corrupt the mind of innocent people. And the televisions with a moral presentation of violence about every day, they are bringing pollutions in the people's living room. And the word of the Master recorded in the Gospel of Luke 21:28, he says, it painted for us a realistic picture of the time which we will live. Let us read. He said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, you lift your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. And what are these things that Jesus had in mind? These are some of the things that are in mind. Social order, world influence, of the heart and mind of people, determination for better condition, demand their right, they cry for better condition, liberty. They talk about for them for liberty in the case at least of violence. And then the communication system, the power and knowledge is so great that the mass of people, many countries cannot control eventually. This, as I said before, will lead to condition of anarchy. But thank God for the truth. We are Bible students. We don't need to be alarmed over the events which are taking place today. They have been predicted in the Word of God. And we are happy to know that there is a silver lining in the dark cloud, where eventually the blessed kingdom will be manifested throughout the world, from one end to another. We are thankful for that. Because man's failure will prove it to be God's opportunity to get the nation out of the dilemma. Of all the millions of books in the world, the Bible, the only word, the only truth, the only book in the world that has the truth, it presented to us a wonderful plan of salvation, not only for us, but also for the pure humanity. And in spite of the terrible condition that we see in the world, with the eyes of our faith, we can see realistic visions of God's kingdom to establish on this earth. We can visualize a wonderful change ahead. We can visualize a day when our loving eternal God will embrace every human being in his loving care and his tender care, and what a blessed day that will be, brethren. You know, I've been in many parts of the world, and I'll tell you one of the questions the brethren always ask me, when this will take place, when the blessed kingdom will come about. What answer would you give that? Patient. Patient. Brother Herschel once says that it takes patience to develop patience. We must be patient and wait on the Lord. He never delays. He has a plan, my dear brethren, and he will accomplish his plan according to his will. Sometimes we're anxious when this will come about, when this will come about. And this has been the history of the Lord's people for 2,000 years, waiting, waiting, waiting on the Lord. We must be patient and try to make our calling election sure, and help the brethren for them to make their calling election sure. Do we have the truth, brethren? Is anyone in this hall can say don't have the truth? Thank God we have the truth. We don't understand all the detail of the truth, But as long as we understand enough of our salvation, it's sufficient. The rest of them, we live in the Lord's hands. Whenever He wants to reveal us part of the truth, we wait on the Lord. He knows the desire of our heart. And we're so thankful that He does not work His plan according to man's plan. He is on His plan, He's on plan, and the time will accomplish what He wants to accomplish. And what we must do as a Christian, brethren, is to remain faithful to the foundation of the truth which has been revealed to us many, many, many years ago. And we're so thankful for the truth. Paul wanted to know what the truth was. The Lord didn't tell him, but He told you and I what the truth is, and we're thankful for that. Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy holy name. Once again, Father, in the spirit of humility, we approach Thy throne of grace to thank Thee, Father, for the many blessings which Thou always bestow upon us. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy love. We thank Thee for Jesus, for the life He offered on Calvary cross, for us and for all. We thank Thee, Father, for the truth. We thank Thee, Father, for the brethren and for this convention. May the Holy Spirit, Thee, Father, fill our hearts, that we appreciate, be able to understand and appreciate the loving care, not only for us, but also for the world. And we shall thank Thee, Father, for this wonderful love, manifestation of love towards us and the world. Father, we pray that we bless Thee for the service of the convention. And we thank Thee, Father, for the love of these brethren to make this convention possible. And once again, Father, we pray for Thy kingdom and realize it's the only hope for this world. Forgive, Father, anything amiss, these blessings and favors. We ask them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.